So as I said, when I left school, I didn't finish school. I dropped out. I didn't go to uni. I had enough of school and thought I need to find a job. So I found a job fixing coffee machines just randomly. And when I started, I was 17. I hadn't been into coffee before. I just started smashing down coffees. Like, I had no idea what coffee was doing to me. And each day I was going to work, I was just drinking so much coffee. I must have been taking in 15 to 20 double shots a day, finishing the day. I'm 17. I'm thinking I got all this energy, but I'm like getting all fidgety and I didn't know why. And it's like, what's wrong with me? And so I started Googling what caffeine does to you. And I found, whoa, I got to slow down on this coffee business. And I had to drop it right back. I think I came below 10 somewhere. But I really had to rethink what I was doing with coffee. And I learned to appreciate coffee. And so over the next few years working in the industry, as I was being sent around to different cafes all around Sydney and further out, I learned to appreciate coffee and I got to have some great coffee, but also some pretty lousy coffee. And I started to learn what it should taste like. And over that time, I learned of a phrase that gets thrown around in the coffee industry. It's called the God shot. Has anyone ever heard of the God shot? I know Sam has. Anyone heard of the God shot? So the God shot, what is it? Well, it's not a Christian phrase. But it's actually something the coffee industry throws around. And if you're asking, what is it? This is how they define it. So a group of people in the coffee industry, they define it like this. You just kind of have to expand your imagination. This is what they say. It's something so special, so unique, so perfect. It's almost as if God himself has blessed it. The God shot is maximized to the point of achieving something amazing. Coffee that tastes as good as fresh roasted coffee smells. Could you imagine? The God shot is a double ristretto that looks special from the moment it starts slurping down the spouts. The color of the streams is always a dark red rust color and often a sense of tiger striping with alternating lines of lighter and darker rust. Are you imagining this? In the cup, the shot is 100% crema from the get-go right up until the end of the pour, and then black nectar starts to form as you complete the shot. It's beautiful. The top of the crema is quite often a dark ruby rust color. I don't know what that looks like, but with no traces of over-extraction, but often something called tiger mottling or specks of darker spots where the intense, highly concentrated colloids and flavors are showing themselves, revealing themselves. The aroma as you lift the cup to your nose almost overpowers you with the intense smell of what the roasted and ground coffee smelt like just moments before. Can you picture yourself there? As you swirl the shot to release even more aromas, the true God shot will almost overwhelm you. The mouthfeel is beyond almost anything you've sampled before. The aromas, taste, colloids, flavors, you name it, they all coat the tongue and seem to constantly hit the perfect notes on all four taste buds on the tongue. As you swallow the shot, the back of your mouth and throat get the final joy. The espresso coats this part of your mouth and doesn't want to give up. The God shot gives such an amazing sensation of mild bitters and sweets that it's almost as if your mouth doesn't want to lose a sensation. It wants to keep it around for a while. The God shot definitely doesn't want you to flush your mouth out with some other more mundane drink or a stick of chewing gum. Your mouth sends a command to your brain saying, you must savor this. And they say the God shot, by definition, will turn even a teetotaler into an avowed espresso hound for life. Wow, what a description of the God shot. It's glorious, right? Now, as Sam said before, I'm not a cold brew guy or a filter coffee guy. I'm an espresso man. And that description just kind of gets me going. I don't know about you, but the question is, how does one achieve a God shot? Right? It sounds so amazing, but how do we get there? This is what they say. Do everything right and then hope. Or more appropriately, they say, pray for the best. They say, you got to have everything right. The machine's got to be right. The grinder's got to be right. Your TAM's got to be right. Everything has to go perfectly. And then even more, you've got to hope for the best. He says, if you do all the things right, you'll get a great shot of espresso, but a great shot isn't a God shot. The God shot only comes if the stars are aligned, if the moon's in phase, if Jupiter is in Venus. And yes, God looks down and says, this one is worthy. I bless it. This is what they say. These non-Christian people. See, the God shot is this out of our world experience. It's this wow, out there, kind of, I couldn't achieve this on my own, something else had to happen. That's the God shot. And I think this idea and pursuit of the God shot tells us two things about ourselves, two things about our culture, especially us cafe culture people, us coffee lovers. It tells us, firstly, that we all deep down know there's something more, something greater than what we're experiencing. And the second thing is, in light of that, it tells us that actually something's missing. Something's not quite right. The pursuit of the God shot tells us we know there's something more and we know there's something missing. Firstly, it tells us we know there's something more. The God shot describes this thing that's beyond us. This thing that even after you do everything right, there still has to be something else. Surely there's something else that's out of my experience. And I think we all know this kind of thing. If anyone's been watching the Commonwealth Games, it's kind of that experience where they do everything right, all the training, everything goes right, but on the day, something else just happens. You know, you go on that date and you've prepared everything, everything is going perfectly, but then, you know, the stars come out. There's just something else to it. There's some kind of magic. It's like the sense that even if you reached all the, achieved all your goals and reached the top level of success in your job and you got that job you wanted, you got kind of living the ideal life, there's this kind of inkling that there's something else to this. There's something more. I don't know if you know the famous actor Jim Carrey, but he says, just recently quoted, got quoted saying, I wish everyone could become rich and famous so they could see that it's not the answer. There's something more. And I think deep down we know that in our lives. I think we know that surely there's more to life than what we just experience. Surely more than the mundane parts of life. I think the God shot idea expresses something deep down, a longing deep down that actually maybe there is something more than double ristretto piccolo lattes and single origin filter pour over coffees. There's something more. But secondly, it tells us that actually something's not quite right. Something's missing. You know, the pursuit of the God shot, the desire for something more, doesn't that actually tell us that we think of our current situation like it's not quite there? If actually what we want is up here and we desire something that's out of this world, surely our mundane tells us we're not quite there yet. I think it's funny thinking about the, if anyone's been watching The Bachelor, not me, it's my wife, it's not me. I just kind of see it on, you know. Anyone watched The Bachelor before? You know when they go into The Bachelor, one honest man in the room, it's good. People go into that show looking for something more, don't they? They think they're going to find that something more, but actually what they do in the show is they settle for less. And you know, what people have started doing with the God shot over time is they've started lowering the bar of the God shot and kind of saying things like, oh yeah, I've been working on my God shot. I can kind of get it 3 out of 5 times now. Now, I've been really getting good at this God shot business. But what they've done there is they've lowered the bar of the God shot and turned it into something less than it actually is. Because if we think about how I described it before, this God shot doesn't just happen day after day. It's something that kind of everything has to go right. The coffee's got to be roasted the right time and brewed the right time. Everything has to go perfectly and still more. But lowering the bar is actually settling for something less. They're telling themselves, my shots are actually that good that it's like such like a God shot, but it's actually less than, and they're settling for less. And guys, don't we do the same with life? We kind of convince ourselves that our current situation, even though we know we have this inkling that something more, we convince ourselves that our current situation is as good as it gets. And we lower the bar, the expectation for our lives. And we convince ourselves, we feed ourselves the story and the lie that this is as good as it gets. And I think cafe culture even tells us this. As we meet up for coffee and we're sharing our lives together, we're often sharing things that are going wrong in our lives. And we don't kind of think, wow, I think this tells me something's not quite right. But we convince each other and we lie to ourselves and say, look, everyone's got problems, don't we? Don't we? This is all just a normal part of life. We kind of lower the bar of expectation, tell ourselves, don't expect much more than this. And we just keep kind of pushing on. And what we have to do in that scenario, if we get to that point where we know there's something more but we can't get to it, is we have to convince ourselves that everything's actually as good as it gets, or we try and fill our hole with other things. We try and fill our void with things that don't fulfill. And we just keep pushing on. I'll just keep going. Maybe everything's going to be all right. But actually, you know, it's similar to how caffeine works in our body. So as I did the study when I was drinking way too much, do you know how caffeine works in the brain? Our brain has this thing where it releases a hormone that's supposed to tell our body that we're tired and we need a rest. We need to stop. But caffeine looks like that hormone in our brain. And it convinces our brain that our body actually has more energy than it actually does. And it tells us to just keep going, keep going. You've got more energy than you do. But actually what we needed to do was stop, slow down and take a break and actually give our body a rest. But caffeine tricks us into thinking we've got more to go. See, when I was in the coffee industry back then, that was very much my mentality. I was like pushing on, just trying to get the most out of life. My slogan was, who needs sleep? I'll sleep when I'm dead. I was just partying really hard, having big weekends, late nights, just trying to suck the juice out of life. And actually realizing later on that I wasn't actually living. I was actually convincing myself to believe a promise that the world was never making. And I was lying to myself. I was lowering my bar of expectations in my life and settling for something less. And what I needed to do was to stop, to slow down, to stop just pressing on and rethink what was it that I was living for. Now, I was really thankful that someone forced me to stop back then. And actually, this is what we all need to do when it comes to these bigger questions in life. We need to slow down, to stop and ask the question, what is it that I'm missing? Rather than lowering our bar of expectations of our lives, convincing ourselves everything is okay, or filling our lives with things that don't fulfill, we need to stop and rethink, what is it that I'm missing? Well, you know, if there was ever such thing as a God shot, the true sense of a God shot, it was Jesus. When Jesus turned up, he diagnosed our culture, and he told us actually what it is that we've been missing, and he told us why we have these problems in our world. And he said, as he diagnosed us, this was his diagnosis. You took the caffeine out of the coffee. You took the heart out of life. You pushed God out of the picture and you convinced yourself that it was all okay. And you settled for less. It's like drinking decaf. It's not quite right. See, when Jesus came, he showed us that actually what we've been missing is a relationship with our God and our Maker. And settling for anything less is actually trying to make coffee without putting beans in the grinder. It doesn't quite work, does it? You're not going to get there in the end. Now tell me, if you who are coffee drinkers, I know myself, I'm full on. Tell me, what words would you use to describe the feeling you get if you get up in the morning and you don't have any coffee? And you go through the day and you try and make it through the day. You turn up to class, you have to go and do sport. You try and go for that run. What words describe the feeling that you have without your coffee hit? Yes. What else?
Cranky.
Yeah, cranky.
Drudgery.
Oh. Yeah.
Yearning.
Yearning. Yeah, for sure. Flat.
Missing out.
Yeah, missing out. Lifeless. Dead. Just like, I can't even, like something went wrong. But you know, Jesus said, that's our situation in life without God. That's how we stand when we try to remove God. He told us that everything that's gone wrong in our lives actually stems from us rejecting God out of our lives. Now, Jesus came into the world to restore that relationship with God. And the only reason he could do that, the only reason he could be that God shot for us is because he was God himself. Jesus, when he came, he said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. See, he is everything that God shot promises and more. He offers us life beyond coffee, life beyond sporting achievements, life beyond success, beyond careers, beyond fashion, beyond the grave. He's offering us life to the full, life with ultimate purpose and meaning and value. The question is for us, is will we stop and slow down and think it over? Will we stop to think about what it is that we're missing? Have a listen to how this one writer put it. His name's C.S. Lewis. He's the writer of the Narnia Chronicles. I don't know if you've read them or seen the movies. This is what he says about our heart situation when we try to remove God out of the picture. He says, it would seem that our God finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink, sex, and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. It's like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is on offer by the invitation for a holiday by the sea. He says, "We are far too easily pleased. Our expectations are too low." And there's another guy who lived way back in the 300s. His name was Augustine. And he lived a life full of just trying to please himself with indulgences. He just was living for pleasure. And when he finally came to understand who Jesus was, this is what he realized about his life before God. Listen to what he says. He writes, he's a writer, he writes in the book, and he's writing to God, and he says, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." See, he realized what he was missing. Do either of those quotes resonate with you and your experience in life? I know for me, it definitely did. Well, Christians spend a lot of time around coffee, as you can see, and it's not because we're trying to kind of convince ourselves that everything's okay in life, kind of find something to keep us busy, not because we're consoling each other, and it's not because we think we've found a way to do the perfect God shot, like we've worked out the special prayer. No, it's because we often get together around coffee because we're talking about the one who makes sense of all this stuff in life that we find messy. The one who is the thing we've been looking for and the one who made sense of all the mess we live in. And I want to invite to you, if you're contemplating about thinking about who this Jesus is, we'd love to have a coffee with you and talk it through. Guys, thanks for listening.